especially we see what's going on outside. We see in the media, we see the morales of the Muslim going down. And subhanAllah, as Ali radiallahu anhu would say, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves one person through you, it is better for you than this entire world, right? So it's a great moment for us to welcome somebody to our family. So inshallah, we should be honored by this moment. And inshallah, after he takes his shahada, all the brothers are requested to greet him, say salam. And I know we have our Sira Halaqa today. We will delay that a little bit. Inshallah, we'll shorten it at the end. So I hope you guys don't miss that. But inshallah, we will say salam to our brother. And then we will continue the Sira Halaqa.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So Brother Isaiah here, he was praying earlier with us. And we know, you know, Brother noticed him and I noticed him. And so we started talking to him right now for a little bit. And, just asking him some questions. Alhamdulillah, Brother Isaiah has been learning about Islam since August. And right now we just gave him a short, brief explanation of what Islam is, you know, to believe in the oneness of Allah, to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was sent as a messenger to all of mankind, along with all of the prophets and messengers that came prior to him, to deliver the message of Tawheed. So alhamdulillah, he said that he feels ready. So he wants to accept Islam, he wants to take that step and become a Muslim. So inshallah, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. We're going to do it in Arabic, and then we'll do it in English as well. Okay, inshallah. Say, Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
An.
La.
La.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Ilallah.
Ilallah.
Wa ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
An.
La.
La.
Anna.
Anna.
Muhammad.
Muhammad.
Abduhu.
Abduhu.
Wa Rasul.
Wa Rasul.
Say, I bear witness.
I bear witness.
There is no God worthy of worship.
There is no God worthy of worship.
Except for Allah.
Except for Allah.
And Muhammad.
And Muhammad.
It's his last and final message.
Is his last and final messenger.
Takbir. Takbir. Takbir.
MashaAllah, we could come and congratulate our brother Isaiah. SubhanAllah, you see the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was nothing but all converts. People who just accepted Islam. It wasn't like many of the people were born into Islam, but it was people just like him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow brother Isaiah to stay steadfast on this deen. And inshallah, all of you could play a role in making sure that he stays by making sure you guys exchange your phone numbers to be there for him beyond this hug. It should not just be limited to this hug, but it should be, your help should be there beyond this hug, inshallah.
Most hugs you're going to get in your life. Enjoy them. Yes.
take his number. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ما شاء الله. It was a great memory to have this and see. SubhanAllah, when you read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you actually realize that everybody was a convert. And you realize when they used to accept Islam, what type of happiness used to be on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What type of happiness, you know, different people's Islam brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For instance, when Hamza radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in such joy that you cannot imagine. Why? Because today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave hidayah to his blessed uncle, right? And so Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had concern for every single believer, right? And that's why these moments for us are very important. But one thing that's extremely important is that, you know, when you see from the seerah, that when somebody accepted Islam, it wasn't just like takbir and hugs and that's it. It went beyond that. And one thing it went beyond that too is that it was constant help. Constant, you know, even before you accepted Islam actually. Like we know the story of Abu Dharr al-Ghafari radiallahu anhu. When he went to Makkah to find out about Islam, Ali radiallahu anhu, who was a young kid at the time, he hosted him for 3 days. For 3 days, come sit in my house, eat, sleep, everything. Did not even ask him why you're here. Did not even ask him who you are, what you're doing, or anything like that. But it was after those 3 days that he asked, what are you doing here? What's your purpose? And then he said that, you know, I'm interested in Islam. And he started to show, take him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accept. So, you know, subhanAllah, the greetings and the hugs and everything that we do for new converts today, up to that much was done for like not even a Muslim at that time. So what is our duty after somebody becomes a Muslim? Our duty is to help them, to ease the process for them, not to overwhelm them, to take their number and tell them that you're ever in need, let me know. I'm here for you, right? Sometimes they, you know, one thing, subhanAllah, mashallah, you know, the Muslims like to do is they like to go and advise and teach. So sometimes you have 30 people coming and advising, do this, do this, do this, do this. You don't actually realize how overwhelmed the person feels. Realize that, you know, in the seerah also, inshallah, we're going to learn that when a person accepts Islam, he's choosing a whole different lifestyle. He has to leave his father, he has to leave his mother, he has to leave his old ways of life. He cannot eat what he used to eat before. He cannot sometimes even live with the same people that he used to live before with. And it's an extremely overwhelming period of time. And that's the time that we need to be there for these people. And to be able to help them, to be able to support them, to be able to direct them to the right people. You might not be able to teach them by yourself, but maybe what you can do is connect them to somebody who can. That's why, alhamdulillah, when somebody usually converts, I connect them with Yusuf. Because we know Yusuf accepted Islam. And mashallah, now he's studying in the madrasa. This is his second year. He's gone through the process. He knows what it feels like to be on the other side. Unfortunately, most of us, we don't know what it feels like. And so we might not realize that what we're doing to them might push them away. So it's important to realize that. This is also from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when you see a situation and it's time to teach the companions through that situation, that we teach through them, right? I'll give you another example. I was going to go to seerah, but I guess for the consistency, we'll keep it a lecture. Inshallah, we'll go on to seerah next week. But just to give you a few pointers about shahada, I was in New Jersey, that's my hometown, about a few months ago. And one brother wanted to accept Islam. And one of the board members wanted to help him. So he took the mic and he went to the stage to give him shahada. And, you know, before he, told him to say, repeat after me or anything, he asked him the question. He said, why do you want to accept Islam? And immediately the person who was trying to give the shahada, he was like, whoa, why are you interrogating me? Why are you asking me questions? He felt kind of attacked, kind of felt targeted. And then the masjid is packed, right? Felt helpless, like, what do we do? It's the guy's like, you know, like, you're interrogated. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And so now the person's shahada is at risk. And some people are like, man, this is embarrassing. So So a few people who knew, they're like, Sheikh, you go and just take him out of the situation or do something. And I went and I took the mic and I simply told them, listen, repeat after me. And I just said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and the English translation. And I said, you're a Muslim, that's it, that's enough. As far as why you want to accept Islam and what's going to be your name and what's going to be your, you know, like all of that stuff, trust me, it took you all these years to come for two times to the masjid for salah, and you want this guy to become like Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu as soon as they become Muslims? You have to understand that even the companions being in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it took them years and decades to come to certain level of iman, to come to a level where they were able to take what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and said that that's, it took them time. And so it's extremely important for us to learn these few things. And the reason why I want to focus on this is every single person in this room should know how to give a shahada. You have no purpose of being in America except as an ambassador of deen. Yes, you may work. Yes, you may do whatever you want. But you are an ambassador. And the minimum an ambassador needs to know is how to give shahada. Somebody comes to you in your job and you're this and you're that. You don't need to go all the way for a sheikh. You don't need to wait because you don't know if the person's going to live till tomorrow. The basic idea of explaining the very basic principles of Islam and how to give the shahada, that every single person needs to know. And then afterwards, even to teach them the very basics, you should know that. But if you can't, then in that point you could come connect them to the students of knowledge, connect them to a madrasa, connect them to a sheikh, connect them to the masjid, connect them to all of that, and let them grow like that. But the minimum is that much. And then the second thing I will emphasize is once they're Muslims, it is now your responsibility. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved to Medina, what was the first thing he did? What was the first thing that he did? First thing he did was build a masjid, okay? Alhamdulillah, we have a masjid. What's the second thing that he did? He did what was called muakhat. Muakhat is he basically partnered one Ansari with one Muhajir and made them into brothers. And the reason for that is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that these people have left their homes and their wealth and their families and everything, and they came over here, now they need that support. They need to be taken care of. And so he put them together and they became brothers and sisters and they were helping each other out through the process. Now, of course, the ahkam of that muakhat and everything of who inherit and who doesn't, all that changed over the time. But the concept of creating that brotherly relationship to help each other, right, to be there for each other, that doesn't end with one hug. That doesn't just end quickly and done. Right? Like subhanAllah, yes, today, mashallah, everybody hugged this brother. Tomorrow, when this brother is going to be in a situation, how many numbers is he going to have in order to call? Not many. Tomorrow, when he comes and he says that, hey, I'm in this situation, who's going to be ready to take care of him? So this is also, as we study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want everybody to pay attention to how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took care of his companions when they accepted Islam, and how the other companions took care of each other when they accepted Islam. Right? So this is also part, it's a seerah lesson. Yes, we're not going chronologically, but it's a seerah lesson. Should I just cover one small story of the seerah? Right? This one. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being in the age of around 13, 14, what happens? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we know, he used to live with who? He used to live with Abu Talib, his uncle. Abu Talib, as we know, he was the custodian of the Kaaba, but and he was, mashallah, a very respected, honorable man. He had a lot of kids, but he didn't have so much wealth. In fact, he took a lot of debt from Abbas radiallahu anhu, right? He took a lot of debt from him. And so now, when the Prophet sallallahu, when Abu Talib, when he's taking care of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches the age around 13, 14, and he realizes that this uncle of mine is taking care of me. He's not doing so well financially. I need to do something. And at that time he gets up, I need to look for a job. He doesn't look at what type of job. I need to, you know, get an IT job or I need to get that. Whatever job he's able to get, he get. And what is that job? He became a shepherd. He started to graze other people's cattle, other people's sheep and goats. And subhanAllah, he used to get very small amount of money for that. But he did not feel embarrassed to take that job. Because he did not want to be a freeloader. He did not want to just sit at Abu Talib's house and just eat for free, sleep for free, everything. No. He said, I'm going to help out. In fact, he said, you know what? I'll take care of one of your sons to his Abu Talib, to his uncle. And he started to take care of Ali radiallahu anhu as well. Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, he used to go and he used to graze sheep. And you know, subhanallah, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that not a single prophet came except that he was a shepherd. Not a single prophet came except that he was a shepherd. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put so much hikmah in this. Because a person who is a shepherd, he's out in the forest, out in the mountains. He's busy. He's away from the busy life of the city. And he's able to ponder over the creation of Allah. He's able to see. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time one of you guys saw a star? When was the last time one of you saw a star? SubhanAllah, these are the creations of Allah that we're supposed to look at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named surah after these creations. We're supposed to look, reflect, and as we see, it's supposed to increase our iman. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is able to be in this environment where he's able to look at the creation of Allah. He's secluded from the busy life of this dunya. And he's able to think. The second thing is taking care of sheep. SubhanAllah, it's not an easy task. Like taking care of madrasa kids. Right? It's very hard. You go too hard, the sheep breaks down. You go too lenient, they go away. What do? Right? You see, when you go to a farm, usually if you go to a cow farm, they will have those, metal pieces that if a cow goes, it will give it a small current and the cow will come back. But you can't do that for a sheep. You could do it to a cow because it will, alert the cow and the cow will come back. But a sheep, if it does that, the sheep will be on the floor. It won't be able to move after that. So you can't go too hard. And at the same time, if you go too soft, so it's going to go the other way. Right? So what do? You have to learn to be so soft. And that's why you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew to be soft. But at the same time, he knew, okay, there's boundaries. You can't cross the boundaries. He knew that he can't become, as a sheep, a shepherd, you always have to be alert. You can't be like, I'm going to go to sleep. Next thing you know, your whole flock is gone. Right? So you have to be alert. And these are all different dimensions that's training the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take care of the ummah. These are all things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing to take care of the ummah. Then we also realize that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on mentions that he was a shepherd. Some guys were passing by. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, hey, you guys should give this specific plant to your sheep and goats. They're like, how do you know about sheep and goats? He's like, I used to graze them for so and so family in the Banu Sa'd. I used to graze them for a few pennies, for a few dirahim, right? And like, oh really? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is yes. He's not embarrassed to take ownership of his humble beginning. Yes, I used to work in a small little factory. Now I'm a CEO of this company. No, he's not thinking like, oh, now I'm this big, great personality and people are coming to me. No, he remembered his past. And he remembered that it's okay to start. And subhanAllah, last thing I'll end off with is that you see, even if you have a very humble job, but you do it with trust, you do it with honesty, and you do it good, with excellence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to change that to more and more opportunities. And that's what happened. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did so well in being a shepherd, this gave him the opportunity of not only becoming a businessman, but also getting married to the person who trusted him because of this. Right? So inshallah, we're going to cover once we get to that part. But just as I said, even if it's a small job, even if it's something very humbling, even if it's something very minute, do it with honesty, do it with trust, and do it with excellence. If you do that, it will give you other opportunities and it will allow you to get raised in the ranks. Even if you have the highest job, you're the executive of the company, but you don't have trustworthiness, you don't have truthfulness, you don't do excellence in your job, you're going to come down. So we see this in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a 13, 14-year-old boy, subhanAllah. This is not somebody who went to Harvard executive business class. 13, 14-year-old kid. And so also we should try to teach our kids these small, small things of responsibility. Right? SubhanAllah, like sometimes they're 25 and they still don't know how to shop for themselves. Right? Why? Because the parents spoil them so much. So even if your child is small, you could maybe give them an allowance. Tell them, okay, you buy this. Let's see how you do this. Let's do this. Let's do. Give them these small, small projects and let them work with it. And always emphasize in those small projects, emphasize amana, emphasize sidq, emphasize these qualities that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. And subhanAllah, I guarantee that your child will learn more from this than what he could learn in an MBA course. I know somebody, I'm not going to name the organization, but I know somebody who is the very high position, one of the executive positions, right? And of a big organization, he did not go there through this degree and this and that. He went there through hard work, through being trustworthy, and through being truthful. Because of these qualities, this person got and went through the ladder that somebody else could not have gone through even with all the degrees. So these are all qualities that we see that we need to start to instill into our kids from very young age. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and allow us to implement the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.